Hello, church. It's good to be with you again. The last time I was with you was on Easter, just before, at the time of lockdown. I was with you on Good Friday. I spoke out of my dining room at the table, and then Easter Sunday, spoke to you from 1 Corinthians chapter 15. It's good to be with you and to be able to share with you, and I'll be with you from time to time. I've got some information for you which I want to share. First of all, that Edenvale Baptist Church is celebrating its 70th birthday over the next few months. So join with us in little snippets which will come your way and celebrate with you and us 70 years ago when this church was founded in the Tillys' home. The other one was interesting. I just looked at myself personally. I actually commenced my personal public ministry with you as a congregation 42 years ago, about 70 church members, and here we are today. Interesting, Stephen, our son, followed in ministry, and he started his public ministry here 15 years ago. And the fourth date I have for you is Riverside, your church plant, and together with Bianca and Stephen down in the south, celebrates its 10th anniversary on the 10th of the 10th. And they began, remember, with the World Cup, Soccer World Cup 2010. And so you'll hear from them, all of you who know about that church plant. Today I want to share with you from the scriptures. I've been fascinated by the series that you've had on the parables. And in fact, Jesus said that the scripture says about Jesus that he spoke in no other way but by parables. And that's very interesting. And we've had one or two messages, and we'll have one or two messages after this. But I was intrigued by something which I want to bring to you today, which I'm calling Mind the Gap. Now, if you've ever been to London or heard about London or heard about the rail system, you will hear that whenever you go down underground. Mind the gap, mind the gap. I want to talk about minding the eternal gap. So if you have a Bible, or you've got your iPad, or you've got your cell phone, or whatever it is, turn with me to Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19, and I'm looking, Luke chapter 16, sorry, and I'm looking at verse 19. There was a rich man who was dressed in purple and fine linen, and lived in luxury every day. At his gate was a beggar by the name of Lazarus, covered with sores and longing to eat what fell from the rich man's table. Even the dogs came and licked his sores. Talk about extremes. We have got extremes, much like our world today. The time came when the beggar died, and the angels carried him to Abram's side. The rich man also died and was buried. In hell, where he was in torment, he looked up and he saw Abram far away with Lazarus by his side. So he called to him, "Father Abraham, have pity on me and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in the water and cool my tongue, because I am in agony in this fire." But Abram replied, "Son, remember that in your lifetime, you received good things and Lazarus bad things. But now," notice those words, "but now," mind the eternal gap, "but now he is comforted here and you are in agony. Besides all this, between us and you, a great chasm or gulf has been fixed so that those who want to go from here to there cannot, nor can anyone cross over from there to us." He answered, "I beg you, Father, send Lazarus to my father's house, for I have five brothers. Let him warn them so that they will not come to this place of torment." And Abram replied, "They have Moses and the prophets. Let them listen to them." I'm talking to you about a parable, or is it a parable? Now, you've looked at some of the parables over the last few weeks, and they're incredible. They're tremendous stories. with a tremendous spiritual truth. I want to ask you the question, is this a parable? Because if the Seventh-day Adventists are right, it is a parable, and then you can actually do away with immediate presence after death in the presence of God or in the presence of hell. I'm suggesting a few things. First thing I want to know, to share with you, is that well-known people are talked about in this passage of Scripture. A certain rich man. You know, some people, you don't have to mention their names. The Bill Gates, Patrice Motsepe. If they live in your neighborhood, you know there's a certain rich man. You don't have to mention his name. In fact, it is better not to mention his names. But Lazarus, he was the ordinary guy. He was the poor guy. He is mentioned by name. Abraham, probably the most mentioned name in Scripture, together with Moses and a few others. And in fact, Jesus said, I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I am a God of the living and not the dead. Well-known people are mentioned. Is this a parable? Number two, well-known realities. Riches, poverty. Privilege, disadvantage. Heaven and hell. Well-known doctrines. Salvation. Doctrine of eternal life, the doctrine of heaven, the doctrine of hell, the doctrine of life beyond the grave. All this tells me that this is not just a parable. It is rather a narrative parable. That means it is actually using real circumstances, real people, and telling a story about these people, which is eternally important to every single one of you. Folks, I want to share this with you because it is so important. Mind the gap. The first thing I want to suggest to you is mind the common denominator. And what is that? Verse 22, it says, the time came. I looked at the Greek, and it's the word egeneto. Egeneto, which means it happened. I think you all know what it means. You were doing one thing, you were climbing a ladder, and it happened, and you fell. The other day, I was riding my bicycle, and it happened. I hit the curb, and before I knew it, I was down on the side. It happened. I think we all know what that means. A number of years ago, Wendy and I were down on the coast, and we were at a lovely little family hotel, family-run hotel. It was Christmas time, it was holiday time, it was sun time, it was beach time, and we went up to this little table where you can get tea, and I was pouring a cup of tea, and Wendy was pouring a cup of tea and getting a rusk, and I looked out, and I looked at the beautiful view of the beach. You couldn't help but see how beautiful it was, and I got my tea, and I was putting my sweetener in, and I looked up, and I saw panic. People rushing this way and that way. While I was pouring a cup of tea, there was a tragedy. A 45-year-old man, father of two or three children, husband of a wife, holidaying on the beach, got into a rip current. And before he knew it, he was sucked into the sea, and they were taking out his body and laying it out. Life changed immediately in a moment. Friends, you never know when it happened. The rich man, it happened. The poor man, it happened. I'm calling it the common denominator. In fact, the Scripture says, it is appointed unto man once to die. You know, you and I can't avoid it. And then the judgment. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 1 speaks about being absent from the body and present with the Lord. In the book of Philippians, the apostle Paul says, for me to live is Christ. No gap. To die is gain. This is a very important narrative parable. Something that you and I need to think about, pray about, and maybe reconsider your walk with the Lord. The second thing I want you to mind is your future destiny. Your future destiny. We all know the wave of controversy which rippled through the Christian community a number of years ago by Rob Bell's book, Love Wins. I think one thing that Rob Bell maybe blurred far too much was the reality of verse 23. Simply says, in hell. It's very interesting when you look at this narrative, and let me just say, there is nothing important about the rich versus poor. It's not talking about rich people are the ones who get the short end of the stick and poor people get the best, or poor people. It's not talking about that. It happens to be talking about one real circumstance. So you can be rich or poor. In fact, you could be the rich man who, like many, have served God with their riches and done all kinds of things. You could be that person, or you could be the poor person who in fact goes to hell. That's not the story here. Verse 23 says, in hell. It doesn't explain. It doesn't give an apologetic. It doesn't mealy-mouth the issue. It says it like it is. Where he was in torment, he looked up and saw Abraham, the father of the covenant, the one who is justified and accredited as righteousness through his faith, with Lazarus, who also looked up to the same God, and righteousness was accredited to him, and Lazarus was at his side. I want you to notice something. They are both conscious. No soul sleep here. They are both aware of their context. In verse 26, it says, and besides all this, between you and us, a great gap, chasm, I'm sorry to tell you, is fixed. It is fixed so that those who want to go from here to there cannot do so, nor can anyone go from there to here. Mind the gap. Friends, I know that this is probably not the kind of message that popularly gets preached, but I want to tell you this is a reality. And as I listen to the number of parables that were preached here in this church, on this screen, I thought of this one, and I thought, let me bring this one to you. Is it a parable? Is it just a story with a spiritual truth? Or are these real people? These are real living people, like you, with warm blood in their veins. These are people facing issues of eternity. My question, what do we do about it? You know, it was Andy Stanley who once wrote a book and on preaching and homiletics. And in that book, he said, preach for a verdict. Oh, I love those words. Many years ago, Stephen Alford was a great preacher, and he was the gray-haired man when I was a young person. And you know what he said? Preach for a verdict. The verdict I want to close with is the following. The burden for missions, the burden for people, the burden for post-lockdown. We cannot rest on our laurels. Number one, we have to be concerned about the lost. Now, let me just repeat that. We have to be concerned about the lost. Look at what verse 27 says. I beg you, Father Abraham, send Lazarus to my father's house. You know what? I've got five brothers. I wonder if there are people that you're concerned about. I remember a few years ago, I happened to go with a friend of mine, an ex-member of this church, who is a minister. He ministers in the Drakenstein prison. That is the prison from which Nelson Mandela stepped out after 27 years of incarceration. And he goes and he ministers and he has a captive audience. And all the guys that he speaks to are under the age of 25. So he took me in one day. We went through security one, security two, security three. And I felt the burden, like I felt the burden to share something of this. And what came up with, how many brothers do you have? And that's what I was basically talking about. One guy started to cry on the one side. Afterwards, he asked to see me and I went across to him. A number of these guys have given their lives to the Lord. And he said, you know, Pastor, I haven't thought about it, but I've got five sisters. And he said, what I'm going to do from today is minister in what way I can. From this prison cell, I'm going to minister to my sisters. I wonder what your passion is for people. Are you concerned about the lost? Number two, we have to use the opportunities that are given to us. Because that is your excuse. I don't have your opportunities. Friends, every one of us is given opportunities according to your personality, according to your giftedness. There are people that cross your way that you can talk about the gospel. It says in verse 29, they have, look at that word. Do you know how much we have in 2020? Most of us have 8, 9, 10, and if you go online, 20 translations of this verse. We have Moses and the prophets. Let them listen to them. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing comes by the word of God. Number three, and lastly, we have a resurrected Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 30 says, if someone from the dead goes to them, they will repent. Do you notice how suddenly very urgent the issue is when before this there was no urgency? Someone from the dead could go to them and actually send this person back. Maybe, I want to tell you, we do have somebody risen from the dead, and his name is Jesus. If you will confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you too shall be saved. No, we don't need somebody to come out of a grave. We've already got somebody. Mind the gap. Would you covenant with me today to first check your own life and second, check the possibilities of ministering to somebody else? This will give you post-lockdown hope and ministry. And God bless you. Amen.